Welcome to The Ether. Today is Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. Today on The Ether, part two of the two-part Algorand Poppin' Puffin's Discord block party. Let's take a listen.
All right, let's get this disco going. We got the dance floor hopping. People are moving and shaking. They're sweaty. They're ready to do some trivia. So I'll throw on the music. You throw up the trivia, Zyma.
Yep, trivia is coming right up. 10 questions in event chat. And we're going to go with comics. Anyone nice. Wants to suggest a fun topic category, let me know.
I mean, dating with NFTs, I saw a dating app somewhere. Has that happened yet? I'm waiting for that. NF Tinder. Algo Tinder. I mean, yeah, let's get some people on that. Get some funding. Let's get some funding for that.
I can't remember the project,
NFT,
but there was an algo project that was reaching out to me for dating. It's an algo dating app thingy.
Wait. They might have.
I can't remember.
Oh, wait. I think they dropped it in the server.
Somebody dropped it in the chat. It says True You.
True You. That's the one.
Yeah. Okay. We got to get them up. Kraken and True You. I want to hear about the dating app. All right. Well, first of all, the giveaway has that ended or is it still going, Zyma? Ends in 11 minutes.
Each are 15 minutes.
Okay, each one's 15 minutes. Perfect. So we're continuously running these giveaways. This one is for everyone. I guess it's also pinned, right? We'll pin it. And if you want to join, perfect. If you want to join the giveaway, it's in the main chat. But we're going to go ahead and start our next round of speakers. So I guess we have Kraken in the house from Rand Gallery, probably is known by all the Algo community for the Terra community. Rand Gallery is one of the premier marketplaces on Algorand, and Kraken is the leader, or the founder and the developer of Kraken. So he's an amazing voice in the community, and he's helped us a lot too. So if you have any questions about the marketplace, then he's the man to ask. And then, of course, we have True Being here, Nicholas Oliver as well from True You. Is that the name? Yeah, True You. And we just talked about dating apps, so we got to talk about that. So why don't we start off with True You, actually? Just a quick question. How does NFT dating work? And is there still hope for your least desirable NFT to find true love?
That is a fair question, one that I definitely can answer. So recently, there actually was a dating app that was opened up for the Bored Apes community. If you ask me, that was just asking for failure from the very beginning. I mean, who has exclusivity in a dating app to the point where you need to own a multiple $1,000 NFT in order to join?
I thought that was a joke. That was real?
That was real.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, completely
I saw
real.
It everywhere and I was like, oh, that's fun, funny joke. Yeah. But it was real. Okay.
Yeah, completely real. The premise is interesting, and it is viable if you have an NFT that isn't specifically multiple thousands of dollars, in fact, tens of thousands of dollars in order to own. And then you have to hope that half of that community actually has, one, the NFT, and two, is female. So basically, our solution True You, we've actually developed a tokenized matching process. So there actually is a token cost associated with swiping left and swiping right on the platform. So it actually feeds into contemplation, the entire process of kind of wondering and going through a profile and making sure that the decision you're making is a viable decision and actually is a good decision. So that's one of the things that we've integrated. Another one's the gifting feature, and this kind of plays into the NFT factor a lot. Our gifting feature, once you match with somebody, you have the ability to do quite a few things with them. One of them being to request an AR or VR date, still a feature that we're building. One of them is the ability to send a gift. So you can actually send them ASAs or NFTs, and they have the ability to either accept that gift or toss that gift on back to you. So they don't even know what the gift is until they receive it. So it's kind of like a surprise gift bag. Outside of that, we're experimenting with the idea of, well, one, we absolutely are integrating Algorand accounts into our profiles. So you can basically see, it's one of the ways that we're attributing identity to a specific profile. We're actually working with a partner, Vendable, to kind of associate an identity with an address so they can actually share the minimum amount of information that is necessary with TrueU to verify their identity. Then we can use that identity on the platform, attribute it to a specific Algorand address, and then you can have a profile that displays every NFT you own, and you can say, hey, these are the NFTs I like. You can set a profile picture as an NFT if you wish. It seems a little overdone a lot in the community, and it would contribute to people not necessarily understanding or knowing who you are, but it's an option. We also have a feature called The Conversation. It is something that we haven't necessarily talked a lot about yet. We're hoping to keep it on the low, the down low, but it's a feature that we're integrating into the TrueU dApp so that users can interact without having to work with the core features of the app. So swiping left or right, or working with the My Matches section, or having to stake a trust token to gain discounts in the match pledging section. The tokenized matching is actually run through a process called match pledging, where the user pledges a certain allocation of trust tokens, and then they receive a certain amount of matches from the platform based on the amount of tokens they have frozen. And then the tokens are spent based on their swipes, either right or left. I guess there's a whole lot going on. A lot of it is integrated with NFTs.
Well, it's just the chat is going wild. I mean, when you think about the like craziness doors that you could open, or what you could do potentially that's interesting, what crazy things could happen, like scenarios, because you're adding in incentives, you know, you're adding in avatars, you're adding in like, you know, rarity and exclusivity and community. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. It just seems like an insane thing to do. I have no idea how it would work in real life or how crazy it could get. So I applaud you for like going for a dating app. I have to think that's like a huge, like mass adoption in the future. Like I have to think, huge. I'm sure I'm not the only person you've thought of this, obviously, but that has to be right. Like,
absolutely. One of the main 2021, the average Tinder pulled in on its own over $9 billion. So we're talking one app, one single app, and their revenue model is solely based on kind of flourishing these notifications and pop-ups in front of users and hoping that they find it valuable to spend their actual US dollars on features. And some people find it useful, some people don't. It doesn't necessarily provide any benefit for user verification. So catfishing is still a thing on Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Badoo. Heck, it goes on every single app. We have effectively completely obliterated catfishing through verification of user identities. Outside of that, there's actually a lot of benefit in providing education in the Web3 space. So one of our biggest goals, really our largest goal, is to make all of these integrations seamless. So we have to make it accessible by the average user, the crypto naive. So So that's one of the biggest things that we're working on, because our general idea is to go with the Coinbase method, which is, you know, grab your first mover advantage, make everything as easy to do as humanly possible, and then reach out, grow that base. That's exactly what we're doing, building the underlying dApp. So we have the entirety of our UI done, all of our smart contracts are done. We're just buttoning everything up now. But the premise is the MVP will obviously be incredibly basic. It's minimal viable product.
When can that be tested or used? When will you have something? Or maybe it's already there. I don't know. But when can we test that out?
Yeah. The planned beta test, so MVP launch, is end of Q2. So end of next month is our planned testing phase. So we're going to start hopefully introducing it and kind of rolling out the features, rolling out and fixing all the bugs and kind of just making sure that everything is fit for us actually officially listing on an app store.
And so right now, but we are talking about real profiles, right? Right now it's more about like verification, trust, kind of solving some problems or solving some of the incentives from Web2 dating apps, right? But is there the idea that you could just be an NFT and swipe left or swipe right or date as an NFT in the metaverse? Because you're going in the metaverse, in metaverse dates, right? So like, you don't really need to, you could be your NFT. And to be honest, I feel like some people, you know, they're better in NFT form. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing when you can, right? You can just have this, in, you know, you can fall in love with it. I've fallen in love with some NFTs. I don't know who they are, but I've fallen in love with them.
Yeah, of course. So. Absolutely. Being your...
I'm on a date with their NFT. Yeah, I don't know.
Being your NFT is definitely a possibility, considering we can verify the underlying identity. So you still have an identity attributed to your NFT. Mm.
Got you. Okay, so it's kind of like a verified NFT. So again, that trust piece is super important in all of these things. Having that, how do you get the trust and then incentivizing the kind of behavior that, the right kind of behavior or the kind of behavior you want. And so, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know. Yeah. I'm surprised it hasn't been like, it's not already like the premier product of an NFT. I'm really surprised, actually.
Wink, wink.
It's complicated. That's probably one reason. You have a lot of competition, obviously.
Currently, we have zero competition, actually. Bumble and Tinder are the only ones venturing into the space, and their reach for Tinder specifically is an in-app token that's not it's not a physical token. It's not something that's an actual cryptocurrency. It's just an in-app token. And Bumble, their entire reach is just integrating the basics of NFTs into their platform. So to kind of refactor the entirety of your business to fit the Web3 model is significantly more difficult than for us to build the entirety of our platform solely around Web3.
Yeah, going at it from building from the ground up instead of trying to figure out how to, you know, to like grab on to crypto somehow, you know, in the kind of traditional corporate structure that they already have built. Yeah, I feel like you have that advantage. So that's awesome. And how can we check that out? I guess you threw a link. Yeah, throw that link into the Shill channel. I'm not sure if you can put it in the event chat because it's moving fast in the links. I'm not sure if you can do invites, but yeah, in the Shill channel, if it's not there already, then throw that in.
Yeah, I
see it. Cool. Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet, to be honest, but we should definitely do a... Oh, great. Very like a Blade Runner. The website, like I get that kind of metaverse vibe, but cool, man. All right, that's awesome. I don't know if anyone has any questions for True You. See if anyone has anyone have any dating questions. I mean, this is it's a hot topic. If you have any questions, this is time to get it out there. If you have any suggestions based on your own dating life, this is the time to put those forth.
More than happy,
but hey, awesome. Well, you know what? Let's get cracking on. I'm curious to hear what he thinks about the NFT dating app, because obviously he'll be, he's peddling in NFTs. So
Yeah.
Might be useful for him in the future. We'll see. Kraken, do you want to step on and
Hey, yeah, thanks for inviting me up. This has been a super chill space.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's the first time we've done this with two groups and having like all these different activities happening. So it seems like nothing's broken. So that's the good, so far so good, touch wood. But yeah, man, welcome to the Black Party. And I don't know, what do you think about an NFT dating app? Is that something you think the community needs? Is it something you would use? I don't know if you're already in a relationship and you're like, but also have like an NFT thing. Is that how does that work? Is that accepted? I don't know. But
is that cheating? That might be something to discuss with the partner. Just, you know,
it was an NFT. Set some ground rules. Exactly. That's in the future, right? That's a thing. 100%, right?
It's like the real life wife, the NFT wife. Yeah, might be different realms, different metaverses, different relationships.
Yeah. I look, it's Goose. I'm sorry. It's a Goose. It's just, how can I resist? It's a Goose with a banana on its head. It's so rare. Anyway, I don't know. This is like, we need like, there's a, this
is so rich. Are you suggesting relationshipception?
Say that again.
Relationshipception.
What do you mean, relationship? The conception? That is
a relationship within a relationship within a relationship.
Whoa.
Relationshipception.
Relationshipception. I am suggesting relationshipception. Yeah, it's a good concept. It's a relationship in a relationship. Yeah, and then you get your Gen 2 and you're like, or maybe you're like, I don't know how that comes into it, but
who gets custody?
Oh man, you could go so far. Oh, that's for another chat. I think you guys need to do Twitter spaces on this. It could go for 24 hours. There's a lot to do, but yeah, Kraken, man, welcome. Obviously Kraken is one of the heavy hitters, I guess, on Algorand, at least for us so far, because we've been talking with you about our launch on Rand Gallery. I guess that's what we can announce, right? We want to launch, or we plan on launching with Rand, and Kraken has been helping us out from day one, and we're so happy about it, and everything we've needed. He's helped us and figured out how to kind of realize our needs coming from Terra, and other projects as well coming from Terra. Putting them in touch with Kraken has been a great first stop to get a sense of the ecosystem. So yeah, I don't know, Kraken. I mean, talk about Rand Gallery. Like, what, like, are, is it only you, or how big is your team actually? Because we've only spoken to you so far. How many people are behind the scenes?
Yeah, that's a great question. So currently it's pretty much just me. Though I do have somebody who helps immensely with onboarding people and also helping review projects that are applying. But you know, I came from like a big tech company before I went full time on Rand in like mid February, and wow. I'm kind of enjoying just having just the small team. I don't have to ask for code reviews or like approvals. It's just like, yep, it does it work? Is it secure? Is it the people like it? It's, I really like how it's a conversation with the community about what they like and what they want instead of like a bunch of bureaucracy. So kind of enjoying the tininess of the team right now.
That's awesome. Wow, just since February. So super young. And I think that's a point, that's a big point about this ecosystem. Like, it's super young, right?
It's really young. Rand Gallery itself has existed for about a year now. And it started out as like a hobby project. And it's funny, when I started it, it was actually, I found like a Reddit community that had been formed like maybe 3 weeks before that. And people were just like trading NFTs, but they were going through all these steps. Like, there was so much friction to make an NFT and viewing it. You had to go to like a blockchain explorer, copy a link from it, and then paste that into a new tab to view the NFT itself. So the way Rand Gallery started was, I was just like, wait, like, we need a way to look at our NFTs like really easily. So I made a way you could just like paste in your wallet address and it would just kind of show everything. And it just kind of grew from there, really, based on a lot of conversations with the community and just stuff that I wanted as an NFT collector and as a creator sometimes too. And then just a lot of requests from them too.
So yeah, like, so you're really listening to community, and obviously you're a user as well. So you're developing what you want. And how far out do you have like features planned? Like, I'm not, you know, a developer from a corporate background or, you know, Scrum or Agile or whatever. I don't know how far out things were planned in your previous work, your previous role, but like, how far are things planned out now? Or is it just like a week by week thing where it's just really fluid and you don't know what it's going to be in a week or a month from now?
Yeah. So, I really love keeping it very flexible so we can pivot at any point. So with Rand Gallery, it's honestly like a day-to-day thing. Like, somebody might have an awesome idea, and we could hopefully build it that day. It really depends on how easy the feature is and if it kind of works with what we're already doing. But I love keeping that flexibility because I think that's really what has set Rand Gallery apart, is just that it's always been based on real desires and feedback from the community and a willingness to pivot instead of like having a long-term roadmap. I think roadmaps get stale often before they're even released. Not to talk shit. I mean, roadmaps can be great for some projects, but I just love being able to pivot based on real feedback.
In general, when projects launch on Algorand, how common is like a really thought out roadmap? Because I know on Terra, we also came from this more like fluid, spontaneous background as artists, and just designing things and, you know, performing and short term and adjusting and pivoting really quickly. And then when we got on Terra, to fit into that community, it was also very important to have like a very defined roadmap for the future. And people always want to know, like, what's the roadmap? What's the roadmap? And it was good for us because it taught us and forced us to really think about like our long-term goals and what our kind of overall mission was beyond the just, you know, being a community and great art and having some small objectives. But like, at the same time, it changes, right? So it was like, by the time you get to stage three, everything's different. And so like, what's the point of doing a 10-step roadmap when by the time you get to stage three, you know it's going to change? So like, for NFT projects on Algorand, because you're launching, you know, helping launch those through your marketplace, how common is like a roadmap? How important is that for the community? For projects on Terra, it's important to know, I think, because they come from that culture of, you know, in really hardcore, like vetted roadmaps, or at least that was kind of the culture of Terra.
I think that's a great question. I think it's really common, even for like top tier engineers and teams, to create roadmaps that aren't realistic, and then they have trouble actually fulfilling them, or the needs change. The community or their clients or their customers might be like, at a certain point, like, well, we don't actually want this anymore because this other place came out with the same feature. We need this new thing. So I think that it can be very appealing, but I think it's also very easy for anybody to make promises and write something down like, oh, like we're going to make a game, or, oh, we're going to make like a DEX or something. Like, it's so easy to make promises. What I really like to see personally is just like when a project has really realistic roadmaps where it's like, you know, they can achieve them and they leave room open for like, we're considering this, we're looking into that, because in that way it's way less of a chance of a rug. Because in the past we've seen projects like come and like, you might have heard of, what was it, Anorant, somebody I think mentioned that earlier. Yeah, so
I don't know it, but it seems like it's like everyone knows about Anorant. So maybe you could explain a little bit about Anorant. What happened there?
Yeah, so the TLDR is just like, they came in hot. They were like, yeah, we're going to build an MMO, DEX, NFT market. They were just like, we're going to build everything. And eventually they released like a cool promotional video where it's like, okay, this is probably like a template, like After Effects template or something. But and then they just rugged. Like, they released a token and rugged. And I think that the community at this point is kind of more discerning, in the sense that like, it's kind of obvious, like anyone can make promises. I think looking at what a team has already delivered and looking at their roadmap and saying, is this realistic? And are they not, like, hopefully they're not overextending and promising, biting off more than they can chew. I think that's really important.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And yeah, as a project, I can say that, you know, there's a lot of pressure to promise. And because people are like, what about this? Are you doing this? And then you look at other projects and they are promising things. So you think like, oh, we need to also promise, or we're just not doing a good job. But I also think now with this fresh start, we understand what we can do and what we want to do. And trying to be, I think I like what you said there, where you can say we're considering this, or we are looking at that, because it means you can say big things, make big statements, but at the same time, it's public and obvious. You're admitting that you don't know, right? So it's like, we want to do this, but we don't know exactly how we're going to get there. But here's some smaller things that are realistic, and presenting a roadmap in that way, I think, is a cool idea.
Yeah, definitely. That way, there's a lot of room for flexing and for pivoting, where it's like, yeah, this is a cool objective. I think the reality is, like, most teams don't know how they're going to really complete a project, especially in software. So yeah, it's good to leave a lot of flexibility in the roadmap. And I think in the end, people appreciate it, because I think I've seen a lot of community members, it's like they get excited, like justifiably, and they're like, maybe they'll be brainstorming, say like, hey, maybe you can make like a PS5 game as utility. It's like, yeah, that would be really fun. But once you look into it, like, you have to pay tons of licensing costs and the development costs, and it takes like years probably. So I think, yeah, just staying realistic, but also ambitious. It's a good combo.
And so, like, what are some things on RAND in terms of as a gallery that people are like asking for, that projects, or just in the near term, like things that you want to iterate on or that you want to develop?
Oh, that's a great question.
Cool features or whatever.
So let's see. I think I always wanted to load faster. I always want the user experience to be easier. And sometimes we just discover new ways to do that. Always keeping our eyes open for that. I'm actually working on a new feature today. I'm hoping to finish it today or tomorrow, for instantshuffle.com, to kind of speed up the purchases, which should help, especially for bigger drops. And let's see, stuff on RAND, like, I don't know, like, a marketplace like Magic Eden is just like super well designed, and they have like all of these great kind of user experience little tidbits. So like, I take a lot of inspiration from Magic Eden, and I think one cool thing they have is like maybe charts for like price history. Like, that'd be kind of cool to put in there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, I definitely think one thing on Tarot was good. You had so many like finance people that there was such like a data analytics core team, you know, in a lot of projects. So you had some projects utility on Tarot, some NFT projects, their utility was data analytics. So you would buy their NFT and it was great. And, you know, a great image, a great character, great art. But then if you had that NFT, then you got access to like their data analysis of NFTs, like floor price and changing, you know, over time, and, you know, just a lot of selling statistics. So that was interesting, but it was a bit siloed. You know, there wasn't like a one data platform for NFTs, but it was coming. I think that was really nice. Like, every time those came, it just gave people a sense of where their NFTs are in the, you know, across all marketplaces, or, you know, seeing which traits are selling or which NFTs are selling, and if something is, you know, being pumped, or if there's a big buyer comes in, or I don't know, just interesting ways to visualize the financial side was cool. And I have a question about Instant Shuffle and RAND Gallery, actually. So, I mean, are they connected? I always consider them kind of the same thing, but they're actually kind of separate. So RAND Gallery is really like just the gallery of your NFTs, and then Instant Shuffle is like the launch platform to launch your NFTs. But are they connected in any way, or they're just kind of like separate things?
They're connected. So RAND Gallery is curated, so it's much like Magic Eden, in the sense that the RAND Gallery team like makes efforts to make sure that art that's approved for listings on RAND is not stolen and is original.
Gotcha.
So yeah, RAND Gallery is it's a great place to view your NFTs, but also list them for sale, or do like Dutch auctions, or accept offers. And then Instant Shuffle, that's more of a platform for We initially made shuffles on Rand Gallery, but because it was curated, we realized like that's it kind of like was a blocker for projects that wanted to launch, and we're like waiting on our approval. So we made instantshuffle.com as like its own platform. It's uncurated, so anybody, any project can kind of have a great drop experience there. And we do tie in some of the stats. So like if you look on randgallery.com, at the bottom, there's like 24-hour stats. So like in the last 24 hours, there's like 47,000 algos of volume. And so we actually do combine the volume from randgallery.com and from instantshuffle.com to get that number. And also some of the other stats. And that actually influences which popular collections show up on the top of Rand Gallery. So like you might have like a really successful drop on instantshuffle.com, which then causes your collection to go to the front of the list of popular collections on Rand Gallery for like a day or something. So it's a cool way to kind of tie the two together.
Yeah, I think that's a great tool. Instant Shuffle is really just, I mean, Rand Gallery is where like, you know, we'll send people if they just like, what's a marketplace on Algorand? And we'll just send them to Rand Gallery just to get that first taste of NFTs on Algorand. But then I think also Instant Shuffle, I wasn't really sending that to people, but I feel like that's a great way just to be like, even for just friends who are whatever, casual artists or photographers. I don't know, do you have photography on here as well? But just people who have, you know, digital content. I'm like, hey, just like create a shuffle, you know, and just try this out. And is that a use case? You know, is it something that it's open really like that, like completely, like I could just send it to someone and, you know, like a photographer friend of mine that has a bunch of pictures, and I'm like, hey, just throw it up here and like get your first taste of creating an NFT.
Yeah. So you can create NFTs on randgallery.com even without approval, and then you could make a shuffle on instantshuffle.com and just like shuffle all those. Also, if anyone's interested in like some photographers that we approved, on the homepage of Rand Gallery, if you scroll down, there's like a discover section, and there's a photography link, and there's some dope photography NFTs on that page.
I see it now. Yeah, discover, and then you have 3D and photography as well.
Yeah, we wanted to help highlight photography in 3D because, you know, like kind of cartoons of animals are pretty dominant in PFP projects. So I think sometimes photographers feel left out, or like 3D artists. So we kind of just wanted to give them a way to highlight their work.
Yeah, photography is interesting. I mean, it seems like the perfect medium for, you know, an NFT for photographers. It seems like a great medium, but I feel like there's some barriers there for some reason. I'm not sure though. I know on Ethereum, I think they're like on OpenSea, there might be more or different websites, but yeah, I don't know if any photographers are in the audience, any NFT photographers, but I'm curious. I know there's that Drifter Shoots, you know, the famous photographer on Ethereum who does really well. But yeah, I'd be curious to hear input from any people doing photography who have minted NFTs and on Algorand as well. Yeah, we'll throw questions in the chat if you have any for Kraken here. Rand Gallery, Instant Shuffle, Marketplace, features you'd like to see, anything from Terra that you learned that we can bring over, or any problems on Terra that you think they might have on Algorand. We can ask if they have the same issues. Yeah, throw those questions in the chat. Yeah, well, I think in terms of like vetting projects, what do you look for? What determines whether a project, I mean, again, we're talking about this trust issue. We've talked about that a few times here, and I think that's been a theme on Algorand, and which is cool because I feel like there's an emphasis that there's a consciousness about that in the community. But like, what are you looking for when you vet a collection? What's the criteria for a collection that would like to be featured?
I think that something that's really important to our team is like just the originality and the honesty. So like, we want people who are making original art, obviously not stolen artwork, and we also want people who, you know, when they talk about their background, like if they're saying that they're the artists that like made original pieces, like we want to make sure that that's a legit story. And that's pretty much where we focus the review on, just trying to make sure that it's like, you know, legit creator. It's, you know, we're not doing like FBI background checks. We're not like checking for felonies. So, you know, I'd say there's, we can't guarantee the safety of the NFTs, but we do work hard to make sure that we're applying some good checks to the creators. And I mean, it's been great so far. Like we haven't seen any copied, like counterfeit NFTs sold on Rand. So, or at least like, I think there have been a few cases where someone like maybe like traced over artwork, or like they copied stuff from like a non NFT source and it was really hard to find that. So like they were on sale for a little bit, but like we haven't seen any examples of like a project copying another Algo NFT project and then selling it, which that has happened on some other platforms.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, in one way, like it's kind of like, it's so easy to, it's like writing a song, right? You can just take a little piece of a melody from another song and are you copying it, or are you, you know, paying tribute to it by, you know, modifying it or something. So that's interesting with NFTs because it's so easy to just copy. But also, on Terra, that was a problem. We did have like, you know, there were some derivative collections. I feel like marketplaces started to just wanted to mint projects. And so they, in the beginning, there was like more of a filter, but then they just kind of, as time went on, there was less of a filter and it was just like launch anything. And then other marketplaces came in and were like, no, we're going to be the new marketplace that is really high quality. So there's always that, I guess, that competition of like, we're the quality marketplace versus the marketplace that just does anything.
Totally. But I think Solana with Magic Eden, like that's a great example of like kind of what we're going for, where it's like you can go there and feel safe because you know that like there has been an approval process, and there's like at least a much lower chance of getting like a rug there. So yeah, that's kind of what we're aiming for, is just like a really easy user experience where you can just like chill and enjoy the NFTs.
Awesome. I like to hear that. A place to chill and enjoy NFTs and then go on a date. You need a date. You have to go on a date tonight and you need the NFT now, right? I need an NFT now because I have a date, you know?
If it's so like Valentine's Day or your anniversary and you need a great present, yeah, just come around.
That's another use case. That's actually pretty cool. You know, it's like you need a last minute anniversary gift. Just go on to Rand Gallery and you need a special like a gift section, anniversary section, you know, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, holidays, and then just some, you know, some curated NFTs that you can just pick up.
That's hilarious. We used to have ads on NFT Explorer, but like I had like no ideas for like what to do to like make the ads stand out. So that actually would be kind of hilarious to like start advertising like Valentine's Day as gifts, even though Valentine's Day is like so far away.
Yeah, there's plenty of occasions, right? You got your weddings. I don't know what's coming up, just your standard marketing calendar, but making NFTs like the perfect, you know, the perfect stocking stuffer, or, you know, the perfect gift for your, you know, engagement gift, or, you know, baby shower. I don't know what anything, right? You could do a funny, definitely do a funny ad. That'd be cool.
Awesome. Some stock photos in there.
Yeah. People just like, wow. Yeah, cool. We also got some links. Wait, did Finn do? Okay, yeah, we got some links in the chat with from Terra Spaces, which is a great podcast for Terra. I'd even be interested if someone like Finn, who does a Terra Spaces podcast, I don't know what the situation is. We should maybe get Finn up. I think he's busy, but like what he's doing with his podcast. But I would even be curious if it would be interesting to interview you know, people from other chains on his podcast, if he hasn't done it already, like, and what it's like and what they're doing. And then also what projects from Terra are doing on their chain. And just looping that back around and having the people on Terra, hear that would be really cool. But,
I can update you a little bit about what Finn's been doing. He's still kind of keeping up on the Terra stuff. And if anybody wants to pay him, he's happy to willing to edit other Terra Spaces And then
he why don't you say doing... quickly what Finn does, because I don't think anyone here knows Finn except from the Terra community. We know Finn podcast, but yeah.
So Finn is he got a grant from Terra back in like October of last year, where he pretty much became an archivist for all of the Twitter spaces. And he's been initially started off interviewing people, but then got too busy. So he edits and introduces and posts all of the Twitter spaces and different discussions like this that have been happening in Terra since October of last year. So he's super duper busy. But that grant was in Luna, so he's not getting paid so much anymore for doing that. He's still working on everything this next month as much as his budget permits, but looking for some funding to be able to keep doing that and keep archiving things, because he's really passionate about the progression of these spaces and being like a historian for it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he has basically the entire history of Terra on his hard drive. And I guess also posted, but yeah, if anyone has the need for audio,
I was just gonna say, and Finn is also an OG Puffin and a part of the mafia, so he knows all about Puffin culture. He knows all about all the NFT culture on Terra, because he literally gets all the alpha first and then edits it for everyone. So he's super knowledgeable about the entire community, and everyone in the community knows him. So I hope that he can play a role somehow in continuing with the Puffins and doing these archives with us for Algo. But we'll check with him. We'll have a word with Finn.
I mean, we're super lucky. Yeah, I just want to shout out. Yeah, exactly. Finn is an OG Puffin, but he's also like, yeah, he's like the guy in Terra that got all the alpha first, because he was, you know, helping all the projects and all the protocols, you know, do their spaces, go on his podcast and transmit that information to the public. So he's one of those information transmitters. Everything went through him, but he was also a Puffin, and his profile picture was a Puffin, and he was part of our mafia. And the mafia, if in case you don't know what that is, if you mint or purchase 50 Puffins, which is a lot of Puffins, especially when the price went up, then you were a member of the Puffin Muffin Mafia. And that's something we're going to do for Algorand as well. Same thing, mint 50 Puffins or buy 50 Puffins. And if you hold those Puffins, then you're in the Puffin Muffin Mafia. And what that gets you is an invitation and 50 Muffins. So that's worth it. It gets you 50 muffins. I mailed out a bunch of muffins the other day. Of course, it also gives you membership to the community, and they're doing some really cool stuff. They have a lot of autonomy within our community. They're the highest, most exclusive group in our community, and they basically can do whatever they want, and they get support from the project to fund things. Or
do you want to talk a little bit about the Cliff Colony too? Or sorry, what's the, oh my goodness, our tags.
Sure, I can do a little thing about that.
Cliff of Fame, the 10, because we're going to do that for the upcoming mint too. If you mint 10, you get a custom tag of your name.
Yeah, I can shill a little bit, I guess. we have the first group is called the Cliff of Fame, and we have a Cliff Casa, which is our home on the cliff, and that's in the Cliff Casa channel, and it's this amazing designed world that we're kind of building out, and one day will be our kind of metaverse home. And on that cliff, there's the Cliff of Fame. And so anyone in here knows graffiti, knows that like you have like the Wall of Fame, where, you know, you make your best tags and kind of you just post up your, you know, your best work. And it's for all like the kings of graffiti, or the, you know, the OGs, or the well-known artists, you know, their name is on this Wall of Fame. And so we have the Cliff of Fame. If you have 10 puffins in your wallet, or you mint 10 puffins and you hold them in your wallet, then you get a tag designed by our artist, the Oliphants, who does like a custom piece for you. And it's just a bonus to your puffins. And so you get that. We send that to you. And then you also get your name on the Cliff Casa, on the Cliff of Fame. So your name is there for posterity, and you get your custom tag. And those are always really cool. And you can make that whatever you want. So that's the Cliff of Fame. And then the Mafia is when you have 50. puffins. So we have those two kind of groups based on how many puffins you hold. And if you hold one puffin, you're a puffin holder and you're in the colony, and it's awesome. But if you want some extra utility and some extra kind of clout in the community, then you can join those groups. We'll finish up with Finn. I just wanted to say that he's awesome, and we're happy he's here. And if anyone has like questions about Terra or wants to reach out to more Terra projects or understand what Terra projects are looking for, he probably knows more than I do, because he knows all the projects, all the people in the projects, all the alpha from each project, what they were working on, who's doing what. So if you need a contact for Terra and you're interested in, I don't know, reaching out to projects and bringing them over or just asking questions, then Finn is your guy. And also he's a great, audio archiver. If you want your space or your event documented and recorded, then reach out to him as well. So just happy to have him here, and just wanted to give him that recognition. So, hey, I think it is time for our next trivia. What do you think, Zaima?
Yeah, up for trivia, and it is a music category suggested by Kraken.
Awesome. Well, this is dedicated to Kraken, who won trivia, chose trivia, and did a great job as our guest. So thanks a lot, Kraken, for coming and talking about Rand. And I'm so happy to be launching on Rand. I think it's going to be a beautiful home, and just so happy that we met you first, because I think that was part of the reason we came over. So thanks so much.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Okay, let's clear the bot scores and get that trivia rolling. Let's see. We need some new songs, though, because the playlist is on repeat right now. Who's got a song? Throw it up in the chat. White Stripes. Okay, some rock and roll here. Drake. All right, I like that. All right. Round 10 of trivia. I don't know what that was. But, yeah, I think the top three winners of each round will get whitelist, but yeah, it looks like there's some confusion. I think we'll just have to go back in the chat and look if there's an issue, but that shouldn't be a problem. Awesome. So we're giving away in the Puffin Holder chat, we just gave away an Octo, which is pretty sweet with a monocle. I like that. And we gave away some Dragonals, which are hilariously cute. With poop on its head. I like that one. And we gave away, well, a few Dragonals, actually. And we also gave a play to earn game with, is that the Tiny Horse? And Tiny Horse. So cool. Giving away some NFTs to Puffin holders, which is really nice. So thank you so much, Projects, for donating those and giving our Puffins a reason to install their first Algo wallet and their first taste of Puffin NFTs. Some Puffin NFTs and Algo NFTs. And yeah, that's awesome. We got some good whitelist spots as well for the Algo fam and for everyone that wants to mint a Puffin when we announce the date. Also want to say that we do have some really cool alpha dropping at the end of this evening. We've been on for 4 hours now. So pretty, well, I think this is the longest I've ever been on an event that I wasn't just listening to. So 4 hours now, we still have a lot of people in the chat and a lot of people in the Discord. So that's awesome to see. So thank you everyone for coming today and taking your time and being a part of this and listening and participating and playing and having some fun. And I hope that we can do this more often and get better every time and just really participate in the community and give away some cool stuff and have some fun and just share ideas. So thank you so much, everyone, for coming. It means a lot. And yeah, let's keep the ball rolling. I think next up first we're doing a giveaway, I think. Are we doing a giveaway for everyone or not?
I think the everyone giveaways are done with the
Okay.
Unless there's some algo guys that want, or ourselves that want to gift anything for an everyone offering, it's up to you. It's up to anyone in the audience. It's kind of just all of this event was snowballed from a simple concept that right at the beginning when Poppin' Puffins first landed with announcement and everything in first day, day one, there was two algo people, random, just holders of, they're not project leads. And there was two project lead that also jumped in to represent their project, throwing NFTs at us. And I was like, why don't we facilitate this in a more festive nature and give them a way to be able to gift smoothly, easily? So that's what's going on, is it's snowballed from both individuals and projects. So if anyone wants to share the love, just toss me a DM and I'll throw you into the mix here. We can give away to Puffin holders or to anyone, those two categories. So let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the key. Like, these are all donated by projects, which is incredible. And yeah, we're giving the NFTs to Puffin holders because that's what we agreed to do. But of course, if you want to give it away to the general community at large, or think about some other creative idea, then it's totally fine. And yeah, it's just a really nice gesture. And I think that's always the first thing to do, right? You give someone an NFT and then all of a sudden they discover a whole new universe. So this has been really cool. We just got a giveaway in the chat. There you go, from True You, giving away a Flemish giant, I believe. Hey, this reminds me, one of the cool things about our mint is we are featuring some one-in-one signature designs by all the top projects. So we've reached out to the artists from projects like the Flemish Giants to design their own puffin, and those will be in the shuffle. So you might actually get this one-in-one unique. Well, every puffin is unique, but you will get this like specially designed puffin by one of the Algorand projects. And Flemish Giants has one that's really cool. And the idea is that we will donate each minted or shuffled puffin from these collections. We'll donate that sale to a conservationist cause or a charity that we'll announce for the mint. But if you mint that puffin, then whatever the price is of that puffin, we're going to send that to a charity. But just a way to kind of involve the art of our other community friends, of our Algo fam friends, and just do something really fun where you can actually get like an Easter egg, a special puffin that is, I don't know, one of a kind. So really excited to give those away too. Oh, cool. HR also in the event chat, HR Puffin Stuff has put some of the scores for the trivia. So I think we're good on trivia. We'll definitely get those winners sorted out. Awesome. Well, we have someone to come up. I think we have someone from Mingo, right?
Hi. I am I'm Ted. I represent Mingo and a couple of the
Ted. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, so we got Ted who's repping Mingo as well as apparently all the birds, Crazy Goose Flock and Lundy's. So I want to talk about birds on Algo.
Absolutely. Birds. It's all sorts of things. Ventral is also a creator of the Crazy Goose Flock, who is a
Ted. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think I had you on mute. I'm sorry. Please start again. Thanks for coming up. And maybe you want to repeat what you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, all good.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I appreciate the time, energy, and effort you guys are putting forth on all of this. It's a sincere honor to be able to come up here. Ventral is also in the chat, who is the creator of the Crazy Goose Flock. So at some point, if possible, if you want to bring him up, or I can always answer any comments or questions related to that.
I just unmuted him, so he can speak as well if he wants to join. That's also cool.
Great. Yeah. Thanks. And so really, Mingo is about not just a brand or anything, but it's also just an experience. Stitch Bob, who is the creator of that series, is one of the OGs on Algorand, was someone that was a part of the space and really developed the building the community before we even got on Discord, when things were just Telegram groups. And that is something that is really just amazing to me. Looking at what they are themselves, Stitch Bob has created, actually will be soon, three NFT series. First was the Yieldling series that was about 500 mints. There's some multi-mints in there. It was a range of different types of flamingos that were kind of pixel art. And that was an ode to the cryptocurrency Yieldly, which was kind of stake farming that we've kind of talked about throughout the whole this 4-hour chunk. And it was really kind of brand representative of that. But over time, he really kind of evolved the brand into being its own autonomous thing, into flamingos, or Mingo, I should say, which stands for mostly not going out. And it kind of is reminiscent of the whole concept that we're all just a bunch of crypto guys and girls that are in our underwear, in our basements, trading and talking about degenerative things like cryptocurrencies and NFTs. So it really buys into this nature that we're all just kind of one and the same in that respect. I personally was drawn in on all of these different amazing traits and how I could kind of really see myself in some of these different NFTs, which was something that I wasn't necessarily familiar with in the past in other different collections. In terms of what the actual NFT it offers itself, the Mingo NFT is a in and of itself a vessel for generating shrimp, which is our ASA kind of token. And while this token isn't tradable on any sort of different platform, you can go and actually use it for future NFT upgrades, as we're going to go and Stitch is going to have a third generation of...
I think we lost Ted, or is that just me?
Drop it for me too.
Did he drop? And ping him, Zyma, and see if he knows that he dropped. Can't hear you, Ted. If you can hear us, we can't hear you. Okay, well, while we work on getting Ted back, maybe... Well, he probably just got cut off somehow, but I'm sure he'll come back. Maybe in the meantime, who is it? The Crazy Goose founder. Was it Ventral? Did you want to talk a bit?
Hey, yeah.
Crazy Goose. Hey, man. Cool.
Can you hear me? Up.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, okay, perfect. I'm just on my phone and eating next to it, but... all good. I launched a Crazy Goose Vlog in February this year, and at that point I think it was the biggest launch with 4,444 NFTs, all sold out in I think a few hours. And on launch, we donated to the plastic bank for every sold NFT to get 1 kilo of plastic out of the ocean, or more, prevent it from getting into the ocean. And currently we're working on bringing out more utility for all the holders. We're soon about to release a utility token, which will be for utility only, so not tradable on any exchanges. But yeah, you will get, for example, new NFTs and other perks like discounts on merch and everything you will get through the token, and even more ideas down the road. But yeah, that's all currently being planned.
Awesome. And is there a connection with Mingo and Crazy Goose? Is there a connection between your projects? Because I know that Ted said that, or I don't know if I was.
We are
if
all
I heard that
birds.
That's right.
And yeah, like Ted said, the Stitch is like the one of the earliest NFT projects on Algorand. I think he was an example for a lot of people. And we have our own little burp council with the bird projects, but other than that, we're not connected in terms of the project itself.
Okay, this Bird Council. So when we finally launch an Algorand, we need to talk about the Bird Council.
For sure.
We want to apply. I think we can publicly say that we would love to apply to be on the Bird Council. I think we're a great match because we have wings and we fly.
The standards are high.
I know the standards are high, but anyway, we won't make any presumptions. We'll talk about that. But I hope that we can make our case. But that's awesome. So why are birds? What's the thing about birds on Algorand? I mean, we had no idea. We came over here and we saw these birds, and it just like we were like, oh, this is crazy. There's all these birds. This is perfect. Like, why? What happened? How did that start?
I think A-Owls really was the first one with their Gen 1 series. Or maybe Yieldlings was first, then A-Owls, then Mingos. So those two were like the first big two NFTs, bird NFT series on Algorand. Then Soodle dropped Lundis, which was the third one, and I think I was last with CGF, and just seems like everyone loves the birds. What can I say?
Yeah, we did a movie night with a project called Terra Movie Club, and they were like a Terra project that focused on film, and they're based in Korea, and we did a movie night with them, and we had like 200 people show up to watch a movie about puffins. For me, it was like 4 a.m. For them, it was the afternoon. And so I was watching this, and there were all these, it was mostly Koreans and other, mostly Asia, but mostly Koreans, I think. And it was really funny because they were all like loving birds. Like they were like birds. They were like, they loved this bird documentary. And there were also like, 20 people who were actually like birders, like people who are, bird watchers and really into birds. And so they were telling all these crazy stories. So there is a community out there of bird lovers. And I think they're all separate. And now we can bring them together.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Ted's back, I think. Right, Ted?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. But yeah, to give you kind of just a basic high level of what the Mingo utility is, currently, right now, you're holding your Mingo for shrimp, and you use that shrimp. You can use that in our in-house sportsbook, Popcorn Lounge, which you can bet on anything from F1 to golf to tiny horses that we have, which was just released, was just given away in the chat. So individuals, holders.
How does that work?
So yeah, we have there's a tiny horse racing league. So there are 32 individuals that will go and submit a stable, which is 5 horses, and they go and they race 5 different times, and whoever wins the majority out of those 5 times is the winner. So there's a whole bracket, everything like that, on the back end, and that bracket will connect up to the sports book, and from there we can go and say, okay, well, if this person won, then anyone that bet on them will get rewarded and they'll get sent off their shrimp. So this is a creative way for us to kind of have active community engagement that's way better than just people just kind of holding and then holding each day for airdrops. And we still have income, like shrimp income farming airdrops that happen every Monday and Friday where you get shrimp based on how many NFTs that you hold. But a good way for you to kind of go, and each day you can go and bet on new things. And like today, I'll kind of go through some of the different betting options that we had. We had F1, soccer, NHL, NBA, MLB, the College Lacrosse Championship, the PGA Championship, and then these Tiny Horse Racing League. So there's a lot of different things that if you as a creator or a collector are interested in, you can always submit that into the kind of the Discord and say, hey, I'm a big into, for instance, Japanese baseball. Would be really great if we could have something like that. Anything that has a sports line on it, I can go and pretty much put in and make it happen. So that's kind of the high level of what we're offering right now. You're gaining and holding these shrimp for the StitchBob's third generation series, which is called Mostly Friends, which starts off as monochromatic, and you use this shrimp to color in and evolve your NFT.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard Mostly Friends now a few times. It's been brought up a few times. That sounds really cool. So the shrimp is the only utility token that's used to color in the...
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's something... Go ahead.
I said, I got to get me a Mingo.
They are going hot. I can give you kind of high level floor price action. The Mingos are at 920. The Yieldlings, which are the OG series, are at about 1200. And then the versus in comparison to like a Crazy Goose Flock, which is at about 80. But to give credit where credit's deserved, Goose Flock is obviously much newer and comes with a lot more different and was a larger mint collection. So credit due where credit's deserved. They really are trying to bring, and I think they are the most, they have the most organic NFT holders that are actually on Algorand. So while Mingo and Yieldling may collectively have more NFTs, it's a concentrated amount of collectors, whereas the Crazy Goose Flock is a wider community of people that all love Algorand. So that is always really, really tremendous.
That's awesome. I like how you talk. I like, again, this is to me the Algorand culture that you're kind of really shouting out other collections and saying why what they did is different and what makes it, you know, it's good for them and it's different in a good way, but also you're doing something that is, you know, something different, but it's complementary. And I really love that you're kind of, I guess it's the bird thing, the bird love, but I don't know if you'd say the same thing about, I don't know, about the apes, I don't know, or the gorillas, but.
No, absolutely. I think that's something too, to not, there isn't any sort of any rivalry that you think is happening on here is all very, you know, very kind of topical in nature, even including like we have AlgoX NFT, which is one NFT marketplace, and Rand Gallery, which is the one that you guys are going with, is another NFT marketplace. And Kraken, who runs Rand, obviously, who was up, you know, just before our last trivia, is a really intelligent, really smart, really great guy. Everyone is, right?
Yeah.
So you'd be remiss to go and say, okay, this server or this people are bad versus these people are good, right? We're all trying to collectively build up Algorand and build up the space. And I think part of that comes from the fact that our overall blockchain market cap is so small. So when you go and you see these new NFT collections, you're seeing that you're buying with the same people, right? You're seeing a lot of the similar faces in these different Discords and stuff like that. I mean, I'm just going through this list right now, seeing who's listening. And I know half of these names that are active on Algorand just because that's just how it is, right? But that's not anything to speak negative of. I think that is just kind of highlighting how early we are in this space and how much we have to grow. And that's why we're really excited and really, you know, really enthusiastic about, you know, people like you guys coming in and sharing a new and creating, you know, sharing a new story and sharing a new experience and creating a new community for us where we can go and really go and do a lot. And to speak to kind of the Corvus that's even in the chat too, there's all these different creators are absolutely amazing. I mean, even I have like 5 or 6 or 7 Corvus, and he's someone that is planting a forest, right? A literal forest. And so we all have these great social kind of justice movements and that are centered our NFTs around our NFTs. So that's something that I'm really kind of looking forward to and excited and happy about.
What do you think like the most, when you look out, like when you look at Algorand, you look at what they're doing as a blockchain, when you look at the NFT landscape and taking it all into account, like what for you is like, you know, 1 year from now, like what do you want to, what can you imagine it's like, what do you want it to be like? I mean, what are you, obviously you're here, like you said, all these people here are believers and they're builders and creators because they're obviously invested and they believe in this, whatever the philosophy or the finance model or whatever it is, they believe in Algorand for some reason. And they're, you know, they're not just in it for a week to have some fun, but there's a long-term like optimism. Like what is your vision for, like for your project or for the NFTs or like, what's going to happen? I don't know. I guess my question is,
So, one thing that I really look at here is like, for instance, here's my perspective, which is the Popcorn Lounge, which is effectively kind of a similar sports book, right? If we were to run that on Ethereum, because we do so many bets a day, our gas fees would be in the thousands of dollars, right, to operate this, whether that's levied on the bet or the house, right? That's left to be decided. It doesn't matter. But the point is, because we can circumnavigate so many of these different kind of fixed costs, it really lowers the barrier to who can participate in this crypto in the first place, right? When all that it costs to go and to send something is fractions of a penny, you're empowering the bottom 50% of the whole world to be able to go and get involved and participate and really kind of be in this community, right? So that's really something that we're looking forward to is a decentralization through the fact that we can, that everyone can participate, not just people that can afford gas fees or not just participate only when the network is up, right? It is always up. It is always going to be cheap. And those certainties really create a foundation for builders to be able to go and to do whatever they want, right? In my specific circumstance, building a sports book, it's all about creating and producing data quickly. You know, 4.5 second transaction finality time means that we can go and make sure that your bet is securely in quickly, right? So you can literally wait until 5 seconds before the game starts and it'll work just fine because it's just, that's just how quickly it all kind of functions. So to answer your question in a more succinct fashion, 1 year from now, I really am looking forward to a lot of more concrete development and empowering all of these different, or I guess just being empowered by the tools that Algorand provides. I think we are in a desperate need for more developers here that can really come and recognize and see the use cases that won't just provide to the crypto space, but use cases that can really be represented and applied to a whole world of people, right? So that's the biggest thing, empowering the bottom 50% of the economy, of the world, and also creating tools and use cases that can be really accessed by those people, right? So even if it's something as simple as having micro loans, for instance, right, where NFTs or even better, like Airblocks, which is another example, is another Algorand NFT community, is trying to do decentralized internet in underserved areas. So just these different ambitious goals, I think over the next year, it'd be great to really start to see those realized.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I feel like on Algorand, there's a bit more like want to change the world and do different things, where on Terra, it was very much focused on the UST. It was very much, which was its strength, of course, because it was all about the finance and providing like an algorithmic stablecoin. And that was obviously, to all the people that were into Terra in this audience, I mean, that was it was like the banner that you would wave. But obviously there was like a lot of risk and it was more like an experiment. And a lot of people got screwed because it was pitched, you know, as something that was safer than it was. But I like how on Algorand there's this grassroots kind of, it's less top down. It feels more like spread out in terms of the ideas. But awesome. That's cool. Yeah, it's the shrimp thing. I see people all the time talking about like more shrimp or get more shrimp. And now I finally know what that is. what are people talking about with shrimp? So I think one thing when we mint, when we launch our puffins, I think it's really important for us as a treasury, you know, to decide as a community what projects we invest in. Is that something that's also quite common amongst projects to, you know, to hold NFTs from other projects, kind of is like in a treasury kind of format?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I wouldn't say it depends. In a treasury is less common, I would say. But what has become more common, and I don't want to speak for Algawana, even though I hold a bunch of them, the Algawana community, but it's investment DAOs are really kind of what more people are oriented towards. Exactly. Right. So where people come together and it's not necessarily directed by these creators. Right. So like, for instance, Algawana or Benji isn't saying, okay, we need to go and hold 20 different geese, right? Or 10 different mingos, right? But what happens over time is the holders of these different communities, the holders of Algawana, will say independently, hey, this is a quality investment that we should make. And if you want to participate in that, you're more than welcome to.
That's interesting. So yeah, like sub-communities is something that I have questions about. Like, how are sub-communities developing within within the various projects? So like Mingo, or I don't know, Crazy Goose as well, you can talk to this. Like, within your communities, are there you know, subgroups that have various functions or various missions, or that are separate from the main holders?
So I would say that we have subgroups, absolutely, but that I would not say that those subgroups are really separate from it or have an alternative mission. A lot of the subgroups right now with Mingo and some of the Crazy Goose flock are really aesthetically oriented. So it's based on certain traits, right, or certain rarity scores. Interestingly enough, though, a lot of the more basic, when, you know, traditionally plain NFTs are kind of looked down upon because they don't have a lot of rare traits or rare designs. But alternatively, on Mingo and some of the Crazy Goose flocks and stuff, those, because there's so many traits, seeing such a basic bird is kind of looked highly upon. So it's almost something where it's like, okay, you have a bird that has zero traits on it whatsoever. That's going to sell for thousands of algos. Whereas, you know, on other chains, a basic NFT is going to sell near floor. So I would say that's kind of the biggest subgroups and divisions within the subgroups. Otherwise, I would say it really depends on just kind of a lot of organically, naturally kind of created groups. They're not really objectives in that respect, but, you know, there's a music lovers group. And if you like music, you know, then we have the Basement Beats. I'm sure someone's going to post the Big Shrimp in Middle Dug rap that we have. And if you haven't already, that needs to be the next song that you guys use for the trivia. It is a banger.
Wait, what's that one?
Here, once I'm done, because I'm holding push to talk, I'm only just staring in between my two monitors while I'm talking. So once I'm done all talking, I'll go and grab that tweet, or if someone in the chat wants to go do that, that'd be great. But
I think I saw that what you tweeted. It's the Mingo rap with the GIF, I guess, right? With the kind of the yellow text, right? The yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That was so good. I sent that to my art. Really sucks that our artist isn't here, because, you know, I sent it to him and he's traveling. He's flying today, but I think he's going to love that. And who created that? How was that? Was that just like a holder that created or organically, or was it a record? Was it did you commission it, or how did that come about?
I just posted it in there. It's my understanding that it was a cross media collab, like a normal, not really a commission, just kind of a holder. Middle Dug is someone that is not only just a holder, but really active in the community of Algorand. He has his own set and series of audio NF based NFTs, where if you hold an NFT of his, you can go and get onto his website, and he has like a synthesizer on there, which is like similar to the Kanye West tool, where you can you can manipulate the different songs that are in the sound or in the music, right? So if you want to hear only the guitar in his songs, right, you can go and do that. That was really just kind of generally how that kind of came about. But it's really just developing this culture, and this experience is really what we want to cultivate, and really really what we want to kind of create. So the Big Shrimpin' rap is kind of really sentimental, and really kind of is, if you have 2 minutes, listening to this is really one of the best ways to kind of get in tune of what the culture is on Algorand.
So when people ask me about Algorand, from now on, I just send them this video. For this tweet.
Yeah, I mean at least the birds I won't say on Algorand, just, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. And this image, is this who did the full body of the Mingo? Because this is like not actually an NFT, right? Like,
so that's Stitch Bob. He does a lot of the full body and he has it recently because he's been creatively occupied with mostly friends, but he does these full body comics, right, where you can go, like, I know for the Popcorn Lounge, right? Like when we had March Madness, right? Villanova was, I guess, on some tear through the before the Final Four. And we were all betting just thousands of shrimpies on Villanova to win. And it got to the point where he created these comics of a little flamingo guy and he's holding a little Villanova flag, kind of waving it around. So it's just kind of a supplemental marketing thing. And it really kind of builds out the whole Mingo universe, even if it's not necessarily the fancy metaverse that is 3D, you know, that a lot of other people are used to. But this is something that I think is really, really great. I know Stitch has a lot of experience in advertising and branding. And that's really kind of shines through with the posing and a lot of the different things. I really think that's something that brings a lot of the NFTs to light.
Kind of looks like, yeah, like a New Yorker cartoon almost this thing. But like, yeah, I like what you're saying. I like that point, because I think I love the 3D metaverse stuff, and I wanted to get a project on here today from Terra Astro Heroes, but I'm not sure if they're going to make it. But they really were just building this incredible metaverse world and space, and they were integrating all of the NFT projects as a, you know, that we could hook up our avatars as a 3D model in their space, and they were just a huge team, and I don't know, they were just prolific and really building fast, and it was cool to see. But at the same time, like, we also come from a street art graffiti comic background, so like, I mean, I feel like there's going to be a role for comics in the metaverse, and it, you know, they don't have to be crazy 3D characters to still, you know, to comics in the metaverse don't have to be 3D even, right? It just means that they're consumed in a, maybe in a different way. But I love we should also stay true to like comics and other like kind of 2D art is still pretty cool. And so that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm definitely excited. I mean, Crazy Goose, we gave away a Crazy Goose. Yeah, there's a picture of in the event chat of our, our first kind of beta test of the metaverse that they were creating. They did like this Times Square thing with all the NFTs, the main projects on Terra kind of plastered on this Times Square. But yeah, you can see their little avatars that they were developing, and eventually that was going to be like the 3D version of a puffin, but I don't know if that's happening. But something like that, I don't know why. I think they would go cross-chain. I don't see why they wouldn't. So I feel like talking to those projects and bringing them over to, you know, Algorand as well, and like giving them like the ability to integrate with this blockchain could be cool. So hopefully, you know, that we can attract some of those projects over here. Goots. What's Goots?
It's the same thing. So Goots are the Crazy Goose flock. We try and do nicknames for all these different things, because trying to say it. Crazy Goose flock is quite the mouthful.
Poppin' Puffins trips me up. We have to come up with something. Poppin' Puffins. Say that 10 times fast.
Oh gosh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Popolilla. But yeah, so that's pretty much all I got. I mean, I could go and talk about the Lundies also, if you guys have, which were the deflationary NFT collection.
Yeah, definitely. Tell us about the Lundies.
So yeah, that was hosted, that is created by Soodle, who is another legend in the NFT, Algo NFT community. Initially started mint size of about 2,200. And that is being reduced through burn rewards, right? So if you hold 5 or 10 or a certain amount, you can burn those for an associated reward, right? For a certain, I think it's 5, it's a certain customized Lundy. And then I think if it's 10 with some additional ones, you can go and get a customized even Puffin, which is the next generation of the Lundy series. So Soodle's been really excited. He's been someone that he actually lives like 15 minutes away from me. We go bowling a bunch. Is really fun. Also, Bacon and Eggs is just dropped another Middle Dug rap in the chat. That is something that you guys should also all listen to. Anything that he posts is a banger. But
we gotta get this guy.
back to Lundy's. It's really kind of an oriented on just It's a communically, I can't even talk, excuse me, an organically community-driven NFT series, right? Tootle is someone that we all knew beforehand, right? And Tootle is someone that has participated in pretty much any NFT collection that we've mentioned. Everything ranging from Algawana to Mingo to all of these different things. And it was finally great and rewarding to kind of see him create his own thing. And really all of these different NFT collections are the art in and of itself, but more importantly, you're buying into these teams and you're buying into these people, right? So I think that's something that is really important when you're going through and you're saying, okay, where you want someone to buy 50 puffins, right? Well, okay, how many, obviously, right, you go and you create these different tiers and these different rewards, and that's how you can kind of go and say and justify saying, okay, that's why you should go and buy 50. But I think it's also important to recognize that a quality, a competent, and a very good team, just succinctly put, justifies, you know, these big purchases by whales and stuff like that, right? So Lundy and Soodle is someone that really is cognizant of that and is really someone that is going to actively reward and listen to these big time holders and do it in a way that isn't just kind of minimizing the little guy, but is also kind of finding a way to connect. Okay, if you're someone that holds 100 NFTs versus someone that holds 5 or 10, how can we bridge that gap?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think, like, of course, like the 50 NFT thing, I just threw it out there, and we've had, I have to actually, to be honest, I would actually give credit to the mafia, as we call it, for doing great things in the community, because they are the whales, I guess you could, right, of the community. They are, you know, they're, of course, the idea is that their interests are aligned with the whole group, and that, you know, they've done a good job of like supporting the community, and they're kind of like mods, they're like ambassadors, they're like you know, team members, but they're not on the team officially, but they're, you know, fulfilling a role of a team in a way, developing ideas and pushing things forward. And in a way, it's like, you know, having that core group of community members that serve as like leadership, that isn't like official. They're not like, they're holders. I think that's important, that they're holders and they're not, you know, they're not on the team necessarily, right? They're actually holders. So they speak for the holders. So it's kind of how it's come out. It's kind of how it's developed for us over the last, I guess, 6 months, 7 months, I don't know. But I guess at the beginning, we didn't know what it would become. It was just more like a cool club, a group. It was more creative, kind of fun thing to do. It was more like an interesting thing to develop, but then it organically became this kind of autonomous, responsible group for our community. But and we just posted a picture of the mafia in our in the chat. So, but 100% think that's, I think it's always the case, right? It's about the team and the people from Algorand, the leadership of the, whether it's the CEO or the founder, as we saw in Terra, right? I mean, the one weak link was the founder almost, because while he was super ambitious and obviously pushed things forward and got a lot of publicity, was also quite arrogant and alienated. I don't know. And they created this blind spot of leadership where there were these big issues with Terra that were not really appreciated. And so leadership is just so important, and you're investing in the team and an NFT project, same thing. It's crazy how much the NFT projects reflect the team. And I think even more than companies, like Elon Musk, Tesla reflects him maybe, or something, or Amazon reflects Jeff Bezos, you know, super productive and efficient and doesn't look really great, but it works really well or something. But then NFT projects, I feel like, do that even more almost, because it's such a visual, visceral experience that it reflects the team and the leadership, like on a very it's incredibly correlated. I don't know. It's like a creature. It's literally a creature that has its own personality.
One thing that happens on Algorand, I think, more consistently versus on other chains, is that there's development first and then marketing second. which can be very infuriating for a lot of holders, because oftentimes, not that it ends up in radio silence, but there's a lot of waiting going on, right? Where people are trying to go and anticipate development and kind of go through, and you have to have some of this patience and something like that. And I think that's kind of common with what you see in a lot of these different blue chips. Not to speak again for Algolana, but with some of their investment DAOs, it's required that you do a full-on LLC, and all of the different investors have to be KYC, just subject to U.S., SEC security laws. And that's not, but the point is, right, like stuff like that takes time, and stuff like that takes a lot of community energy and effort to kind of put forth. And the fact that we have within our community CEOs and CTOs of investment DAO companies and all of these different kind of venture capital firms that are all trying to go and push forward the community development with very big bags to do so, much less the foundation and all of their kind of prodding and pushing, there's a lot of different angles of attack to really get supported on. So whether you're someone that's just an NFT collector, or you're a full-blown, reach developer, or you're someone that is a 2D artist or anything in between, right? It's very easy for you to engage within our community and go through and find a place where you can really produce value and ultimately create success. The only thing is that it's not necessarily immediately monetarily there because of how small our community is right now, right? I'm not going to go and tell you to go and say, okay, we're go do a 20,000 mint size collection and watch it sell out immediately, right? That's way too big for a community like us, but we're someone.
It's gross tomorrow.
Yeah, and exactly, right? And we're preparing for tomorrow. We're preparing for the growth, and we're preparing for a future that will persist through next year and beyond. So.
Yeah, and I guess growth has to happen at some point. Where do you see NFTs playing a role in that growth for Algorand? Do you want to see? I saw some people on Twitter talking about we wish the Algorand Foundation would give us more support, or we wish it would be nice to get more more lip service or more spotlight on NFT projects and what we're doing. Why do you think that? That's true. Like, do NFT projects need to get the spotlight? Like, why? And what role do they play, in the development of Algorand? And then I guess my other question is what should the Algorand Foundation do? Or I don't know, the CEO, this Stacey Warden do? Or I don't know, because people were kind of calling that out on Twitter. I saw a few times, it would be nice to get more support from the, I don't know, the corporate side of Algorand.
Yeah, and to give, so I don't think there's enough credit being done or given, I should say, to these different NFT communities. For instance, Mingo and Yieldling is really responsible for a lot of the different NFT tools that currently exist on Algorand, like NFT Explorer, AlgoX NFT, are a lot of different kind of results because of someone creating an NFT that requires a marketplace, right? And someone created an NFT that people want to track the different traits on, right? And that's kind of really how that all started. And I think to some respect, there's a sense that the foundation overlooks some of the different roles that the NFT communities have in inciting this development, right? So you're saying, okay, well, this development on your blockchain is occurring because of these different creators. And I would agree to that extent. But I also think that the NFT creators as a whole kind of all need to come together and create a comprehensive plan, and really a plan of action. Something where we can go and say, this is what we want to develop, and this is the refined vision that we want to create. It's just difficult because the NFT, the nature of how NFTs work is that you have to be dynamic, you have to be flexible, and you have to be hybrid, and you have to be fluid, right? You don't know if the currency that you're selling your NFT on is going to be worth five, all these different creators are planning for V2 or their next generation, they don't know if Algorand's going to be worth $5 or 5 cents. And you can't promise mint sizes, or you can't necessarily fully plan and account for certain development when you don't know those basic kind of the boundaries of the field that you're playing on. And that's the general kind of basis where I think that some people believe that the foundation could help provide some of that structure and guidelines and create more interactive and kind of receptive programs for these NFT creators, which have created a lot of the different development on the side, and help kind of take the load off of that. I think more recently, you're starting to see that happen. I don't know how familiar you are in your corporate history of Algorand, which no blaming if you're not, but we recently had a new CEO. So the Stacey Warden that you're mentioning, it came on board in January or February. Previously before that, we had a different individual who is a great guy, don't get me wrong, and he's still active in the community and such, but there's been a changing of the guard in the last 4 or 5 months, and I think that's become very apparent. Everything from the Algorand Foundation, Twitter becoming more, you know, popping on, you know, the fact that it's more active in the first place is something that wasn't common 6 months ago. Yeah. But overall, I think we really need just more support for us as a community to build, right? And to connect us and to help finance some of these development tools that we want to bring that are going to enrich the community as a whole, as opposed, you know, this isn't something where we need developer tools to go and do things that are only good for us. It's developer tools that will inevitably kind of trickle back down into the community as a whole. So that's really what it is. And I think that it is starting to happen. And to give credit where credit's due, the foundation's grant program, as I know a lot of people are kind of recipients of that have talked in here, like Squirrel, for instance, are all very competent and they've done a really great job of kind of bringing us up to speed on that kind of, rewarding those people. But there's a little bit more that they could do in terms of really bringing up the rest of the community and creators up to speed. So yeah, sorry to ramble. I apologize. I can go and totally give the floor over to someone else, but there's just a lot to say with this community, really a lot of passionate and great people that I work with. And it's really something that I care a lot about. So yeah, any questions also that you have, feel free to DM me. My DMs are always open. And yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that. No, really. Laying it all out there. I mean, coming in at this time for us seems like a really cool coming in with projects like you and Crazy Goose and Lundy's already, you know, running ahead full steam. And then for us, it looks awesome. Like, wow, you got LimeWire and Napster and the CEO is tweeting. And it's like, okay, it's maybe it's a change, but it's obviously it's worked in a way because we came on board and people are, you know, when people ask us about Algorand, we can point to those things. And so there's, you know, that's how it has an effect. So awesome. No, thanks so much for talking and Crazy Goose Flock as well, Ventral. And we love your projects. We love birds, of course. We're supporting all birds, first and foremost, supporting the birds. And whatever we can do to contribute and be a part of what you're doing, we're happy to. So there's everything, anything you want to do with us, you know, let us know and reach out. And yeah, hopefully this is only the beginning. So cool. And we'll all be on this ride together in the coming months and years. So thanks for having us. Awesome. So yeah, I guess maybe, I don't know if we want to wrap up around, for me, it's about 10 p.m. This is like what, UST, 6 p.m. UST or 3 p.m. Wait a second. 3, almost 4 Eastern time. We had some great speakers up here and maybe we can open the floor for any like broad questions from the community or comments. No like long shills or anything, please. But yeah, just like some thoughts you might have after hearing. Oh, I actually see Algo Cats in the audience. I think maybe they wanted to say something. I'm not sure. Let me check the green room. Yeah, so if anyone wants to say something, yeah, quick shout out or a comment or a question, feel free to us or to any of the speakers who are still here. Feel free to unmute and just say something or throw it in the chat. If anyone wants to speak or
yeah,
a question,
I just,
throw it in the events.
You yeah. Hear me?
Is Algo
yeah,
Cats?
Just,
oh, hey, Algo Cats.
Yeah, hello, guys. I just want to say hello and I'm glad to see how many people are here. awesome. Being with you, you know.
Hey, yeah, that's it.
Hey, that's yeah, it. Yeah, go that's ahead, it. Man.
No, well, if you want to say something, go ahead. We're collaborating with you on some art, which is really cool. So thank you for that and doing some promotion. Next week, I think we're giving away an AlgoCat NFT to lunatics and Terra holders. And that's really cool for all the projects, giving us NFTs to give away to lunatics and Terra holders to get them interested and to get them to download their first wallet and buy their first algo. And that's the first step, right? And once you do that, it's kind of the gateway. Cool. Zymo, do you think, what are we doing, one more trivia, one more giveaway? What do you think before we wrap up?
We should definitely do more trivia. And while we're doing trivia, we could just have open mic, like you said, and let people talk, discuss, and give thoughts from a Puffin perspective or from an Algo perspective of all of this, you know, kind of wrap up and thankful and all of this kind of stuff, whatever.
Awesome. Let's do one more trivia for whitelist. And then we'll just, if anyone wants to talk during trivia, we'll just keep the open mic and we'll wrap it up in the next 10 minutes. Let's do it. Let's do a trivia.
Cool.
For whitelist, Puffin whitelist.
Event channel trivia, 10 questions, category, cartoons.
Good way to end it. Good way to end it. Cartoon birds. Famous cartoon birds.
Nice.
What is space? 4 hours. The chat was full the whole time. Amazing. From the very beginning to the very end.
Yeah, it's been 4.5 hours for sure. I started my YouTube stream after we started. So we're definitely been here for 4.5 hours. Great. Right, wonderful potato event.
Yeah, 4.5 hours. 4.5. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I ate like a bunch of potato chips, so eat something healthy after this.
I just bolted out, you grabbed a sandwich, lunch meat, slapped it together, grabbed some water, came back up.
You forget to eat or drink during these things.
Yeah.
I feel like we should apologize to Finn.
Yeah, I know, right? This is why I wanted to set it up as a Twitter space, so he only had to worry about the keynote speaker part. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think it's been beautiful, really wonderful to hear multiple voices and throwing in leads from each of the projects around Terra and around Algorand to hear from each one. And I didn't know that Kraken had such a wonderful voice.
Yeah, he's so got smooth. It all, right?
Yeah, smooth. Got it all.
You hear him playing on the guitar, man?
No, he's like Jimi Hendrix?
Bro, Kraken, come on, man, you need to do it.
He's also like, yeah, on the weekend, I just like, you know, play classical guitar concerts, you know, in an amphitheater. It's called the Hollywood Bowl. It's in Los Angeles. It's just a small show. Then he's doing his marketplace at night.
Yeah, he plays very well, man. He used to play in the spaces. Like we was having morning like spaces and he play.
Some people are just lucky, you know. Some people are just lucky. They get, so many talents, you know. And some of us have to date on with NFTs on our NFT dating app because we don't have those talents, and so that's okay too. You know? That's what NFTs are—the great equalizer. There's people like Kraken; they can play guitar and they're smooth talkers. Then people, other people. We need NFTs, you know what I mean?
What we should do is integrate a floor price like indicator. So like, hey, I have these NFTs and the floor price is this much. So I have some money, maybe talk to me.
Well, yeah, there's obviously different times of currency, right? Like you said, like it could just be like there's people who love what's kind of like the real world, right? There's people who love, you know, money and there's people who love someone who dresses cool, but they're poor. So.
Absolutely. World's an interesting place.
More data points. Yeah. Like floor price. It definitely, like I got this crazy goose. Hello. All right. Well, we got trivia here. Our last trivia question to Weeble and Bob. Who can go anywhere? I'm also excited about like a meetup. Are there any, does anyone know any Algorand meetups, like anywhere really? New York, California, I was going to say Berlin because we're based there as well, but in Europe, are there any Algorand meetups or in London? We have to get that bowling night. Where's that at?
Real talk. Let's do a giant bowling celebration.
We're I mean, our plan, the thing is on our, on Terra, one of our big kind of goals was to do a meetup in Iceland at the end of the year. I think we were talking to Lundis about that, actually doing that together. And we're trying to set that up. So hopefully we can announce that soon. But we want to set up a in real life meetup. And it's kind of a cool location because it's between the US and Europe. And it's obviously a great destination. And yeah, it's a beautiful place to meet. So I hope we can organize something. That would be pretty cool.
Little Ock, did we mention all the alphas that we were going to drop?
Oh, the alpha. Well, I have one piece of alpha. Should I drop it here?
Yeah,
I will. I'll do it after trivia. It'll be the going away alpha. It's just a cool little thing, but a sign of
cool
bigger to come. Yeah. Whoa, Coleman Lunables is in the chat. So this, I don't know if he's embarrassed, but yeah, he's one of the founders of one of the biggest projects on Terra, the Lunables, number two launch, I think, to launch. And he's super nice. If there's someone on, you know, there's a few people on Terra who are just like, you just would like trust them with your life. Coleman is one of those people. There's a few of those, and Coleman is one of those. And he really, I think he really supported Luna as well. This is a guy, I think he went down with the ship. And he had an incredible project. I mean, still has the NFTs in the project, of course, in the community, but an incredible project, doing really well, doing amazing things with charity and, you know, even the real world, he was doing incredible things, like really incredible things, and just always helping people to succeed and to find their way. And in the beginning, he helped us a bit too. And yeah, anyway, I think he really lost everything. So just a great example of how disastrous and heartbreaking the crash was last week, because people who were really invested on the way down invested more and believed in the ecosystem. And yeah, they lost everything. But Coleman, thank you very much, my friend.
What are the next things with Luna? I see Dukaun, like, he's in the court or something right now, right? He might go to prison or something.
Man, I don't know what's going on with his personal situation, but I imagine he's going to be in trouble somehow, because you don't just blow up that big and then not face consequences when you're an outsider. Maybe when you're an insider, you know, you're running Goldman Sachs or you're, you know, a big investment fund. But in his case, he was really already in trouble. So without money, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what will happen. But yeah, with Luna, of course, they're you know, there's all these proposals, and it's really crazy right now that developing this Luna 2.0, but without a stablecoin. And there's the original Luna that. So it's pretty interesting, but I think no one knows. It's gonna happen.
He needs to change the bio. You know, he have master of stablecoin in bio. He needs to change this shit.
He needs to rebrand himself. Will be interesting, because who knows? I mean, him as a figure. Wow. I mean, what a. I mean, of course, he could probably do a movie. sure, he could sell his story for a good amount of money to Netflix. But man, I feel bad for him, because I know he just had a kid, and I know he's, he has a family, but it's like, wow, he was really like a pirate, living a pirate's life. You know?
Yeah, but he made mistakes, man. He needs to pay for that.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the problem, is he made a mistake that really affected people. in a very physical way, right? Their whole lives are ruined. And you what do you do?
The loss from the USD are bigger than the Luna, right? I think money in the stable coin. I think only. I don't know.
There's no doubt that, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but there's no doubt that the losses in the stablecoin, a lot of people were ruined because of the stablecoin, like regular people, because they weren't playing with Luna. They were playing with, they thought it was a savings account. I mean, I am guilty. I told friends and family, I said, put some money in UST. It's like a savings account. It's super safe. It's like, you know, it's not Luna. You're not playing in crypto. You're just playing, you're just holding dollars, you know? And
yeah,
this is what people believed, you know, and so many people just put everything, their life savings, everything, took out loans. It's like, okay, I'll make 20%. It's going to help me, you know, start a new future, or I can quit my job, or I can, in 3 years, I'll have double my money and I can buy a house or something. So it was just the dream. It was like the hope of so many people, regular people, not just whales or something. Yeah. It's really horrible.
Let's see if he can get some plans to recover or something, but I don't know what to say. It's very hard because you don't have the trust anymore, you know? So when you lose the trust in crypto and the NFTs, it's hard to get recovery, you know?
Yeah, trust is, again, we trust comes up. I don't know if you were here for the other speeches, but the other speakers, but they were all talking about trust. It seems on Algorand there's a bit more emphasis on trust. On Terra, it was more like, what can you do? Mm-hmm. Like, how cool can you make something, or how awesome is your idea? It was like a competition to do the coolest, most intelligent thing. And less of, there was no like, what about the legal implications? What about taxes? What about, what about the way we communicate and act? What about the security? What about the legal? It was like, who cares? Just like, make awesome stuff. And that's really cool. And who cares? Right? Screw them. Right? Yeah. We have so much money. We're just going to become so powerful that as a group that it won't even matter. They'll have to accept it, you know. I feel like we have to be honest and admit that was kind of the vibe. But although, yeah, it worked, you know, in a way, but there was no balance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. The winners. HR Puffin Stuff with the winners. Algo Chick, Krelmo, and Shaymod. Very nice. Good show. Incredibly proud of all our trivia winners today. Just showing how good they can Google. That's just amazing.
I tried to Google too, man, but I can't because there are some, I don't know, some words that can't find on Google.
No, these winners, these trivia winners should be called, it should be called the most incredible Googlers, right?
Yeah, the fastest
Googler contest. Yeah. No, but I'm sure they knew all the answers. I'm sure they knew all the answers. It's fine. They're geniuses.
Yeah, I'm sure
we
too.
All know it.
Yeah, I bet their house they know.
Yeah, but their house. Oh, yeah, careful there. yeah, don't do that. 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wasted Dolphin says that they knew every Disney question. So I believe that. There's some Disney freaks, you know. I believe it. NFL teams. Yeah, you know, people have things that they know. Kraken, of course, Google is checking him to see if it's, Google is always searching Kraken to make sure that it's right, because Kraken is a human Google. Awesome. Great. Well, we have a bunch of winners. I think, we have the record here in the chat. We have the bot. So what we'll do is we'll gather up all those names and we'll reach out to you to get your whitelist actually also, I don't know, or HR, how do you want to do it? If someone, if people want to write, write us or write or DM, or how do we do that, Zaima, with getting the addresses?
I think we've just got it set up for people to open a ticket and we'll take care of it.
Whitelist and NFT. Yeah.
That is a good idea.
But I think I have everything recorded, so we can confirm all that later too.
Right. If you won trivia, please create a ticket and tell us that you won, and we'll put you on the list. And so you'll get reduced price mint. That will be confirmed soon. We're going to release mint details soon. And I want to drop some alpha. Let me just check a few messages first. Okay. So our news, which is really cool, something we've been working on for a few weeks. I guess one of our goals is to, connect with the real world, connect our puffins with the real world. And we think, again, like marketing is part of that, right? Getting people to become puffins that have their own followings, you know, influencers, celebrities or athletes, esports people, whoever, whatever, people doing things that, you know, people who have followers and who are making an impact from their talents or their skills or their abilities, whatever, you know, but we want to find some good people that we can partner with to make their first NFT a puffin. And before that was on Terra and we were moving forward, but then everything exploded. So now that's on Algorand, and now it's actually interesting. I think it's easier with the Para wallet than it was in a way on Terra. And we're excited to share our first celebrity, Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to put a puffin on his profile picture. His next film is called The Puffin of Wall Street. And we're just happy to have that movie. No. That's not true.
You had me. You had me till you said Puffin of Wall Street.
Oh, man. Now it's not as cool. It was Puff of Wall Street. He's so good. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio was my cousin. And so, I just called him up and asked him to buy a puffin. Well, that will be the next step. Leonardo DiCaprio is on our list. But that's the kind of stuff we want, right? We want people who are doing interesting things, who are artists, or who are whatever. But so we have our first person. Here it is, our first announcement. I don't know if anyone knows this fella here. He played for Newcastle United. He played for, as a footballer, he played for the Dutch national team for 10 years. His name is Vernon Anita. And he's still playing. He's in the Dutch Premier League right now. He's playing for the Curaçao national team. And Anita loves the puffins, and he is going to become a puffin, and we already created his signature puffin, and he loves it, and we worked with him personally to create his custom puffin with a bunch of custom traits, and he's a really great guy, and he's also an artist. He's a musician and he's a hip-hop artist, and so we think that's really cool because it aligns with our art initiative, and he's just a great person. He's a family man, and passionate about his home of Curaçao, his home island, and I think that's also cool because we can probably do some cool campaigns and help. Maybe there's a cool charity that we can work with in Curaçao, which is obviously a fragile habitat, and I think this is the first of many to come. We're working with a couple agents that we're friends with to reach out to various athletes and esports stars and celebrities that we think would be a good fit. And hopefully it brings more people to the puffins, bring more people to Algorand. All of their followers will see the puffin and they're like, what's that? And he'll be in the locker room and he'll be showing his mates about, the puffin. And hopefully we can get some more puffins out there and spread the love. So yeah, it's a cool little announcement. Unfortunately, Olafons, our artist, is not here because I think he would have more to say than me because he's a big fan of Anita. Wait, what are people saying in the chat? What's a TLDR? What do we need? What do people want to know? What are the questions? Can we make bets on him? I guess you could with shrimp. I think we should be betting on Anita in the Mingo chat, in the Mingo Discord.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So yeah, that's our little bit of alpha. We're going to drop that on Twitter. I think right now, we need to get him his puffin and get him to put it on his Instagram and all his socials and get him to announce it. And maybe I think we'll try to do also like a spaces with him as well. I think that would be cool too. Or I don't know. Or maybe in the future there's like a VIP chat or something. I don't know. But definitely want to get him on as well to talk about why he chose the puffins and what he loves about it. And hopefully get him some Algorand. Get him some acorn, some shrimp. Oh, that's great. Ted says he's throwing the games in the popcorn lounge. Perfect. There you go. Bet on puffins, right? Bet on puffins.
Lil Locke, do you wanna close out with our traditional puffin closing?
Oh yes. Well, okay, we'll wrap it up today. Well, thank you everyone for coming. And there's something that we always do at the end of our Twitter spaces and the end of our meetings. And it's a tradition because it's what the puffins say. And that's awk. And we all say it in the chats, but in real life we like to awk at the end of all of our meetings. So I'm gonna count down from three, and then everyone's just gonna unmute their microphone and awk like the Dickens. So that's all you have to do is yell awk or do whatever you want. Just let your inner puffin out. So let's do it. All right, puffins, I need you here. Let's do this. This is for Algorand. This is for all the Terrans out there, and for a brighter future and a future that we can support all Terrans and Algo fan in this new chapter. So let's do it, guys. 3, 2, 1. Brilliant. All right, everyone, have a lovely, lovely evening, a lovely day. Thank you for coming. See you next time. See you on Twitter Spaces. See you in the Discord. And see you on all the other Discords, all the other great projects on here. It was amazing. It was a blessing to have everyone, and just very grateful. And if you need anything, reach out. Our DMs are open. Our mods are here. Our team is ready. Our team is available for any questions or thoughts or suggestions. So please get in touch, and sending all of our love.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of the two-part Algorand Poppin' Puffins Discord Block Party, recorded on Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coupe with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best miles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the weight was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your
privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.